Father, today, these people didn't come to see or hear me. They came to see and hear from you. Amen. So, Lord, right now, Lord, I ask for your presence to be here, Lord. And I ask for your word to come forth, Lord. Use this willing vessel for your honor and glory. And, Lord, you get all the glory to yourself. Let my words die, but let your word be sealed in every heart. For this we praise and thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't realize when Donna brought this song out, I don't know if it was inspired by the message 2 weeks ago that Stan gave or what, but it fell right in line as I was listening on the internet to Stan's message from 2 weeks ago. And praise the Lord. It goes back to a situation that happened here one Sunday morning. And this is just one situation. I want to talk about many, many different ones. Sometimes we feel like we get into situations where we're prisoners, where there's chains that bind us. Amen. And what we need to know is that that praising Him, worshiping Him will cause those chains to go, to fall. Amen. But also being aware of and focused on His Word and the promises that He's given us. Amen. That are in Him what? Yes, and so be it. Yes, and amen. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So as I was listening to the message, God began to speak to me just a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. And this song was tremendous. You know, by blessing His name, by blessing Him, by praising Him and worshiping and we, as we reach out and pray, prayer, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, when they defied what was wrong, they followed God's law and they followed Him against the law of the land. Right. Now, they weren't wrong in doing that because we answer to a higher call and a higher law, the law of God. Now, does that mean we go out and just defile the laws of the land? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm a firm believer that you need to be afraid of the government that fears you. Or another way somebody put it is, well, just an example maybe is, you fear the government that fears your guns. And that doesn't mean we're going to go out and try to take over the government. But the point is that the only reason anybody would want you to be disarmed is so they can take advantage of you. And the enemy wants you to be disarmed today. How many know that? Right. The enemy wants you to be disarmed. How are you disarmed? By getting caught up in things in your mind, by circumstances and things that come your way that take your mind off of the Word and off of God, right? And so today, we want to just talk about a few of those things, and we want to understand there's a higher way and a higher call than our way and what we think. And we need to keep, with the help of God, our minds under control. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to start out this morning, and in fact, I'll just, Harry will remember this, what a few Sundays ago, we had a couple come in the church. Most of you were here. And they came in the church. They came in kind of late, sat down. And before the praise and worship was over, or at the end of the praise and worship, Harry had a word. And right away the enemy attacked Harry because these people got up and left. I mean, know what I'm talking about. You know, right away we want to think that we've done something that's wrong. And yet in our spirits and our hearts we know it's from God. We know it's part of God's plan. We know it's in God's Word. But we're concerned. And the thought struck me as I was listening to the message Stan preached 2 weeks ago is the fact that we're more concerned with what people think than what God thinks sometimes. I'm not saying we do that deliberately. I'm saying that sometimes we get caught up. We're so worried not about not offending people that we take offense or get worried that we're going to offend somebody else rather than knowing that God's in control. How many know God's in control no matter what? Even if we're out of control, God is still in control. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Amen? And so this is a word of encouragement for Harry, but it's a word of encouragement for all of us. Struggles and things even that you know, the enemy's tried to bring down on me in the past few weeks. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm free. Amen. Oh, no, you didn't hear me. I told you, I'm free.
Yes, amen?
I'm free this morning. And you know why? Because I'm learning more and more every day. Relax in God. Relax in God. Didn't He promise that a righteous man's steps are ordered by Him?
Yes.
Are you righteous? Yes. Are you serving Him? Is that your heart?
Yes.
As long as your heart is focused on serving Him, you can't make a wrong step. You may make a mistake, but that's not beyond God's control. How many know that? Amen? That's not beyond God's control. The Bible says God can make the crooked places straight. Amen? God says He can turn what was meant for harm to good. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to start with Romans 1:16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it," in what? The gospel, the good news. "If for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written." And then finally it says, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Amen? That word ashamed is 2098. I'm not going to give you a meaning for it or tell you what it means. I'm just going to tell you it's 2098 in your concordance if you want to look it up. I would recommend that you look up these. A couple of these, I'll just give you a brief word. And the rest of them, there's actually four of them that I actually have the numbers for. And the rest of them, I would encourage you to look up yourself. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," the good news. And there's more to that. That word gospel is an incredible word there. "Of Christ," and Christ just literally means the anointed, and that's 55:47. "For it is the power." In Luke 10:19, it says, He says, "Behold," or "look and see, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." It's the word power in the King James Version twice in that Luke 10:19. And that first word power means authority, but the second word power in that verse means explosive, dynamic power. It's the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite or dynamic. "For it is the power of God to salvation," and salvation is 49:91, "for everyone," and it's all encompassing. It's all encompassing. Everything is in that word salvation. "For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How many have had a situation where they were worried that something they did, even though in their mind, in the back of their mind, in their heart, they knew it was from God, but they were afraid that they had offended somebody? And what I want to tell you today is the fact that, and of course, right away there's a struggle, you know, prisoner in your mind right there. That struggle has taken the focus off of God and what God's Word says, and you're worried about that because, I mean, let's face it, nobody sets out to hurt or offend somebody, right? But sometimes we do. There's situations and things that we may not just exactly do what maybe afterwards we think maybe that wasn't quite the way to handle it. We don't quite handle a situation correctly, or we did what just came and then all of a sudden we're questioning or we're second-guessing whether we did the right thing or not. We need to just remember what we do in our lives as we follow Him, we do according to His Word. Now, if not, God will correct us. He'll take care of it, right? Amen. Matthew 10:32-33 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses Me before men, him I will confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father who is in heaven." Now, we're not just talking about salvation here, talking about those things. How many know that a light that's set on a hill, a city that's set on a hill, that light can't be hidden? Right. So when we operate in the things of God, whether it's in our everyday life or even in this place, when the Spirit of God comes on us, we don't want to hide that for fear somebody's going to take it the wrong way. If God's God, then serve Him all the way. Don't be concerned. God will take care of all the rest. You know? So if we're exposing that light and we're supposed to be salt and light in this earth, then that light needs to shine forth and we don't need to be timid about it. Amen? And we don't need to be apologetic about it. Now, if you're operating in your flesh, I don't know anybody in here who probably hasn't done that at least once in their life, maybe twice. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. God will take care of that. We do it in ignorance. Amen? "But whoever therefore denies Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven." We can't deny Him. His Word stands. And everything in it is the truth. Or it's truthfully recorded. there are some men's opinions in there that may not quite get in line with the truth, but it's all truth recorded. And it's all based on God's thoughts and God's plans. And where it's not, then it says right there, I think. Paul said, you know, I think I have the mind of God, those kind of things. Okay. We also look at the maturity level at the point in their life when we read the recorded history of some of the people in the Bible. Right? So what we need to do is we need to stay focused on the things of God and not be concerned with how they're received. How many know they're not the Holy Spirit? I don't think you heard me. How many know you're not the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Now, I had to learn that the hard way. I don't know about you. I had to learn that the hard way. And I'll tell you what, a lot of grief in my life ended when I finally learned, Bill, you're not responsible and you're not the Holy Spirit. When God's word goes out, when things happen, that's God's, the one, especially in His house, when it's about Him. He's the one who's going to take care of these situations. Yeah. We don't need to be concerned about it, nor do we need to be timid about Him. Amen? We're supposed to operate in boldness and confidence, aren't we?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to trust Him. And when we feel the unction to function, if you want to use those terms, then let's do it. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Once again, I just want to say that we seem to, I don't know why this is. And it's prevalent in the church. In fact, it's probably more prevalent in the church because at least we have some understanding about offending people where the world just doesn't care. If you don't like it, get over it. Well, guess what? We answer to a higher one. And if we're wrong, He'll show us. But if we're not, then we don't need to be ashamed or apologetic about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. We all desire the presence of God in our life. We all desire to be used by God. But sometimes we give it up over foolish things and foolish thoughts. You know, the enemy is faithful, just like God, to whisper in our ear. But the Word says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Let's put it this way. My sheep know my voice, and when a strange voice comes, they're not going to follow it. Amen? Jesus, when He came down from the mount, after 40 days of fasting, was tempted by words that sounded like God. But because He knew the Father, and He knew the Father's heart, because He had been obedient to it, there was no temptation there to follow those words. See, the Bible says the letter alone kills, but the Spirit gives life, right? Amen?
Yeah.
So what He was hearing there was not logo, was not rhema, meaning revealed word. It was rhema, or logos, written word. It was truly stated. But the heart behind it was wrong. It was evil. It was from the enemy. How many know what I'm talking about? Matthew 15:16 is the verse that we talked about a minute ago. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God didn't give us the gifts of the Spirit, which I'll remind you, the gifts of the Spirit operate in us as He wills, not as we will.
Right.
How many read that in the Word? So it's not up to us. It's up to us to be obedient when we feel that unction to move, to go ahead and move as He says to move. And if He's placed a gift within you and it's operating according to the Scripture, then don't hold back. Don't be timid about it. And don't be worried how it's going to be received. That's between God and the people. You just be obedient. God will bless you. And if they got a problem, He'll take care of that. Or they'll get mad just the way they got, or get glad just the way they got mad. Or as Stan would say, they'll kiss their mad spot. They'll have to kiss their mad spot. See, even back in Jesus' day, the quote-unquote religious leaders tried to down Him because He brought truth while they were under man's law. He brought God's law and truth rather than operating under man's law, or if you will, the Mosaic law. How many know what I'm talking about? How many know what Mosaic law is? And so the religious leaders of that day, they were the ones who falsely accused Him, called Him a blasphemer, said that He was full of the devil when He was operating in the truth. Amen? And so, don't be concerned with what people think. Just, you know, the only thing that matters to me is am I right with You, Lord? And one of the things that I pray, you know, like David, I pray often, create in me clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And then I pray, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And you know, if you'll do that every day, if you'll realize, if you wake up knowing that your salvation is fresh and new every day, then whatever you do, in word or deed, you'll be able to do to the glory of God. And not only that, the Holy Spirit will check you if you're getting out of balance. Wait a minute, that's flesh. Somebody doesn't need to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, you messed up there. No, you didn't. Besides, that's not up to you. You got enough to take care of just looking at this. How many know what I'm talking about? I want to remind you once again, the Word's not a mirror for you to show somebody else where they're missing the mark. The Word's a mirror for you to see where you're missing the mark. And as you come up and as you change, God will change them. That's His responsibility, and that's where your responsibility begins and ends. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if the religious leaders of Jesus' day and the people denied the truth, and He was the truth, He didn't just carry the truth, He was the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, as we saw in the song this morning, as we sang about, we shouldn't be surprised when they do it today. See, the only thing that would cause somebody to get up and walk out in a move of God is because they've got religious ideas, or because they don't know God, or because they've never read the Word, or all. Amen? Yeah. We have the truth. We walk in the truth, right? Yeah. Amen? So we shouldn't be worried about that. And can I tell you something? The other thing that I know for sure is sometimes when people run the hardest is when God's dealing with them the most. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've never seen that fail in my life. In all the years I've walked with the Lord, I've never seen it fail. The one who's the hardest to fight, the one who runs the hardest, who gets the most offended, is the one that God's working on the hardest. And when they fall, bless God, there's no recovery. I'm telling you, there's not a threat in this world that'll change their mind about God once they finally fall. And I'll remind you also, when the hound dog of heaven, the Holy Ghost, begins to chase them, where are you going to run and hide? Where are you going to run and hide? Brother J.W. would say, Katie, bar the door. Send your saddle home, John. It's over with. It's done. You might as well just surrender. Because you're never going to have a moment's peace until you give in to what God wants. But that's also true for us who walk in the truth. When God's dealing with us or moving in a certain way, how many have felt the unction? Harry, bless his heart, he operates in it freely, willingly, and boldly. But how many of us have said, man, God, Richard tells me often, he said, oh, Bill, I had a word, I just didn't know, you know. And then you go home, and then, of course, the enemy torments you the other way. I should have said it, and I didn't say it. No, why did I do that? You know what I'm saying? Now, you all know what I'm saying. See? The enemy always has thoughts and tells lies to us and whispers in our ear to either get us to go out of God's plan, which means either we don't move when we should, or when we move with God, say, you blew it. You offended those people. Now they're gone. And that's a lie. We need to ask once again, as Stan prays often, and I've adopted, Father, I want to see what you see. I want to know what you know. I want to speak what you want me to speak. Your words, not my words. My words don't carry any life. But God's word is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Once again, it's not, we all know this here. For those of you who may be new, this is the truth. Truth, love, are not things or possessions. They are a person. It's the person of God, the person of Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We know that by the Scripture in John 1:1, right? Now, I don't think there's a person in here that couldn't quote that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? So they're not just things. That's a person we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to John 8:31-37, if you will, please. John 8:31-37. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, if you abide in me and my word, and abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Let me read that again. If you abide in me or in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That word abide, does anybody know what that word abide means? It means to live in, to dwell in, and to remain constantly in. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen?
Yes.
That's just one more step in the day-to-day steps we take, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, where we begin to learn and grow that when God moves, it's part of the truth, and we know it's the truth, and so we have no issue with it. We don't let the enemy's lies come in and throw us off for a little bit or get our focus taken off. They answered and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" See, they didn't have a clue. They were operating in religious knowledge and carnal knowledge. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." What are you today? Are you a son and an heir? Amen. That's right. You need to proclaim that with boldness. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And then the rest of that goes on, and I'm not going to read verse 37 as I thought, but if you go on 37 through about 47, it talks about Abraham's and Satan's seed and how they sought to kill him because they were operating out of their own knowledge or religious knowledge, learned knowledge, not the truth, not the rhema, the revealed knowledge from God. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says to... And it's worded a little different in the New King James. I'll just read it to you. In the King James, it says, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In the New King James, it reads like this. It says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved." Be diligent to present yourselves approved. How do you do that? Well, you all know how to do it. It's the choice whether you walk in it and you do it or you don't. And that is to be in His presence continually, day and night. Meditate in His Word. Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. And then when you go on and read the rest of Joshua 1:8, it says, what does it say? It says, then you, and well, first of all, you observe to do all that's written therein. Okay? Now, I'm sorry, I don't know anybody, and it starts right here at the pulpit, who walks in everything all the time. We try. And that's what we're moving. That's what we're working towards, is pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. But the point is, it's once again, we aim high and miss. At least we've aimed in the right direction, right? Hallelujah. We're running a whole race here, folks. We're not just running and then, you know, giving up. We're running the whole race. That's a lifetime. Amen. And then from there, once we've done that, we go on into eternity and continue with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't see the downside of this, folks. I really don't. Hallelujah. Be in His presence. Be in His Word all the time. And once again, that's when you'll know that God will reveal Himself and you'll know that you're operating in Him. John 14, verse 6, and then jumping down to 16 through 18. John 14, verse 6, and then 6 through 18. Verse 6 says, "Then Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Once again, I want to encourage, for Harry's benefit and everybody else's, I want to encourage that when you operate in the truth, you need to understand that the only way people out there, when you operate in God, whether it's giving a word from the pulpit or whether it's giving a word tongues and interpretation, based on the way the Scripture says, which is exactly appropriate. I don't care what anybody else or any other church says. I'm more concerned about what God says than what they say. Bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds. Then you're operating correctly. Right?
Yeah.
You better shout amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's only one way to get to Him, and that's through Jesus. Amen? And so that's operating in the what He tells us, what He's shown us in His Word. Now jump down to 16. Well, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth." Oh, did you catch that? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells within you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus said when he ascended, he said, I'm going to send a comforter. And that comforter is the one who guides us into all truth. That's the comforter who brings peace based on the Word of God. The comforter is the one who reveals knowledge so that we know. We don't have to guess. We know when we're operating in the things of God. We know when we're hearing the truth. That's how we know the voice of a stranger and being able to discern that that's the voice of a stranger and not following that voice. The Holy Spirit. He's a comforter, a teacher. He guides us into all truth. Amen? He's a revealer. He reveals God's knowledge to us. And when the Spirit and the Word come together, they agree if it's really God's Word. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
when they come together, they agree. If they don't agree and it doesn't bring peace to your life, it doesn't bring enlightenment, then you need to reject it. Amen. Amen. John chapter 16, 13 through 15. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, see here it's revealed exactly what I just said to you, in case you thought I was pulling your leg or just, you know, going off on a limb. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you of things to come. He will glorify Me. Anything that you hear that glorifies God, you know is from God. Amen? If it lifts up or glorifies anything else, then you need to reject it. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Anything else that comes that doesn't lift up or glorify God, you need to reject it. And that even means some silly thoughts we have sometimes. Amen? He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to who? To you. To you. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. Amen? Turn with me to Isaiah 55, 8 through 13. Isaiah 55, 8 through 13. See, God tells us very clearly here, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are My ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are far higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall My word be that goes forth from My mouth. It shall not return to Me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. See, religious men today, you know, denominations teach that the things of the Holy Spirit, which goes, I mean, we can sit here and talk for half an hour if you want to about scriptures that say that's totally baloney, that He doesn't change. Those things have not passed away. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation. The prophetic gifts, the ministry gifts, the prophet, apostle, pastor, and prophet, apostle, pastor, and teacher are all in operation today. Fivefold ministry gifts. Evangelist and teacher, that's the one I missed. They're all in operation today. And Jesus said, not one word of Mine or none of these things will pass away until all is fulfilled.
Amen.
They were sent for us to grow and learn so that we can do the work of the ministry. Amen? We are His hands, His feet in this earth, right? So when we hear the Word and when the Holy Spirit comes, first of all, we understand that somebody who rejects that or who walks out on something like that, they don't have the thoughts of God. They don't have the mind of God. They've heard something or it doesn't make sense to their intellect. We're going to cover that in just a minute too. It doesn't make sense to their intellect. So they reject it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the truth that's in you. And who's the truth? Well, I've got one answer anyway. We don't want to do the same thing. Amen? Turn with me. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. Well, let's start in verse 9. But it, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed what? Those things, them to us as through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Okay? Once again, that's revealing about the Holy Spirit in our life and the Spirit of God in us. Amen? That's how we know things are from God. I mean, again, the Word and the Spirit agree. Always. Never, ever do they not agree. And if all of a sudden you don't have peace and you need to be stopping and looking at, was it the Word? And if you see that it was the Word, then was the Spirit agreeing with it? And if it wasn't, then chances are what you heard was not from God. Amen? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might, what? Know all things that have been freely given to us by God. That we might know all things that have been freely given to us by God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual things. How many know you can't compare apples to oranges? I mean, I bet if I've heard that once, I've heard that a million times since I was a toddler. These things which we speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Now listen, in verse 14 it says, but the natural man, another way to say that would be the carnal man, the religious man, the man who operates out of intellect rather than spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him. Now, you just read it right there, that the things that are, you know, spiritual things are not received by natural men. They're foolishness.
Sorry.
How many know we've been called to be a peculiar people?
Yep.
Amen? Hallelujah. And the things of God don't line up with the natural man's thinking. Neither can he know them. It's foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can reject those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. The Bible tells us to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I don't care if you got a PhD or you got a half a dozen PhDs. If what you speak or what you believe or what you think is against the Word of God, you're wrong. And your shingles that say PhD, you can take those and a buck and a half and go buy yourself a cup of coffee. I'm not against education, but education is not the final answer. And education does not make you wise. It'll give you some learning and a little bit of understanding, but it does not make you wise. Only God and God's Word and the wisdom of God makes you wise. How many agree with that? That's why he says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, the way you perceive things, the way you think things are, the way that you think they should be. And then in all your ways, in everything you do, acknowledge him. And what's the promise? And he will direct your path. Amen?
Yeah.
Where's the downside? Where's the downside? In closing, I want to read Romans 11, 33 through 36. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches. Listen carefully. Follow along. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Remember, we just read that they're spiritually discerned. You got to have the Spirit in you and you got to have the truth in you in order to be able to find out and to know whether it's truth or not. Not your intellect. That's why we lost our minds. Amen? We take on the mind of Christ. We lose our minds and take on the mind of Christ. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? What gives any man a right to say, well, that's not from God, when it comes right out of His Word? The only man brave enough to do that, bless his darn heart, mixed up mind, is the man who doesn't know the truth. And I'm not talking about just the words on the page. I'm talking about the one, the living Word, the alive Word, the powerful living Word of God, Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Or who has first given Him, or given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Did you hear that? All things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive and well. And He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So all we need to do is just rest in Him. Rest in Him. Just rest in Him. And then no matter what happens, and let's face it, how many know, if you make a mistake, you're the first to know it. Come on, you know what I'm saying. When something happens and I know I'm a little bit off, oops. And then like David, you run to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. But God's already got it covered. It wasn't willful sin, it was a mistake. And God doesn't hold our mistakes against us. Where'd that come from? That sounded like some old Tennessee guy. Against us, excuse me. Let's get the proper English here. He doesn't hold those against us. Amen? But He also doesn't hold it against that one who walked out if they did it in ignorance. See, in order to really know someone, or let's go a little bit further, in order to really know God, you have to have a relationship with Him. And that means in His entirety. Not just hearing with your ears what somebody says from the pulpit, or what somebody says over the radio, or what somebody says over the television. And I'm not here judging them. It's up to God to do that. I've got my own full-time job just judging and taking care of me. But the one thing that I know is that too many opinions come out of too many people based on religion, not what they really studied or what they really found out for themselves. And that's where we get into trouble because that's why today I've got to get this saying. Our elevator technician for our building said this one time, and he said this, and this man, I'm telling you, this grabbed a hold of me. We've got a society full of sheeple today. They're not sheep and they're not people, they're sheeple. Whatever somebody says or does, I'm on that bandwagon and I'm going. Bless your darn heart, mixed up mind. Rather than standing up and being an individual and listening. Everybody wants to belong to something, right? Wants to be a part of a group of some kind. Do you know where you are right now? You're in the best group, in the presence of the best company you could ever be in, because God's here. And He's revealing Himself to you moment by moment, day by day. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be on that. I want to be in that company, don't you? I want to be in that company. I don't care what man. The Word says, I don't care what man can do to me. I don't care. I don't care what their opinion of me is. Now, we all want to be liked. I understand that. But man, you know what? I'd rather be known and liked by God and rejected by men than follow men and be rejected by God. Man may be able to take my life, but they can't kill me. I don't want that to go over your head. Man may be able to take my life, but he can't kill me.
Right.
I fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. That word fear doesn't necessarily mean fear like afraid. It means respect and reverence. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the one who birthed me. He's the one whom they decided Bill needed to be here. He's the one who decided Harry and Marie and Bob and Jean, Rebecca and Deborah, and all of us need to be here. Amen? We're here by His plan, not by man's plan. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now, do you believe that? Just read your Word and you'll know that's the truth. I care what He thinks. And you know what? If you care more about what He thinks and follow Him, you won't have to worry about ever being rejected for what you do. If rejection comes from somebody, it's because they don't know Him and because the light of God is shining on them and the pressure is getting too intense because their deeds are being exposed by the light of God.
And we all know what the Word says about that. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They want to be hidden from the light because then nobody can see what they're doing. There's no accountability. Right? Amen? I like being accountable, first to Him, and second of all to you, because that's God's plan. Amen? Amen. That's the way it should be. That's the way it needs to be. And you know what? It's the safest place you could ever be. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People hide and they run from things because they're afraid they're going to get hurt again. I don't know a person in this room that hasn't been hurt at one time or another, by the church even. But the point is, with God, you can always open yourself up and surrender to Him. And He gives you the strength to become vulnerable again. Now pretty soon, you're going to get a thick skin and you won't be hurt anymore. Because your focus, as you walk with Him, is so on Him that the offenses don't come. And the hurt doesn't matter anymore. We talk about dying to ourselves and letting Him live in us, or Him living His life through us. And that comes in a day-by-day process. How many years, Harry? How many years, Bob? How many years, Jean, Marie? Marion, excuse me, Marion. Okay, you know what I'm saying. Read between the lines. Read between the lines. Yeah. Amen? It's a day-by-day process. But the more you keep on keeping on, the more you become solid. The more you go. I heard Stan's tender. I heard so much tenderness, and I heard God just absolutely revealing the softness that's in that man. You know, he made a statement that blows me away. Sometimes it seems that he's the toughest guy in the world, and nothing fazes him. And yet, even on the tape, on the CD, you can hear and, you know, sense the tears. It just means I need more of God. I just need more of God. Less of me and more of Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? If your thoughts are focused on the Lord, on His ways, and on His Word, there's not a thing that you can do that'll ever bring harm to anybody. And even if it appears like it may have, it's not your responsibility. God will defend Himself, and He'll defend you. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't have to defend myself. But I also know that when I make a mistake, I'm man enough to go and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know? See, it's amazing that an all-powerful God who could snap His fingers, snuff out life in this earth, Jesus on the cross could have called 10,000, myriads and multitudes of angels and wiped out everybody. And because of the tender compassion and the love of God that He was operating in at that moment, didn't call them. He let them go. And through that, God devised a plan to get through to those people, bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds, through their foolishness, to draw them to Him. To draw them to Him. Amen? We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be afraid. As long as we're operating in what we know is from Him, He'll take care of the offenses. He'll take care of the ones who get up and leave. He'll take care of them. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? That was my prayer. I wanted you to be encouraged today. God is so good. God is so good.
Amen.
Amen. His mercies endure forever. His love and His mercy never fails. Never fails or comes to an end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to give you the opportunity, if you need prayer this morning, to get prayer. Whether you come up here, you just sit in your seat and raise your hand, somebody comes around, we've got people who will come and pray with you. You know, he whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Free indeed. Amen. And you know what? We've heard many times and we read in the Word that he's concerned with every little detail of our life. Even faulty furnaces, Bill, which may not be a little detail to some folks, I mean to you, but, you know, He's concerned about that. And He's got an answer. Turn your frustration, turn your anxiety, turn it all over to Him and watch Him make something wonderful, cause something wonderful to happen. Amen? See, even if man takes advantage of you and they don't get caught, God sees and He'll make sure that there's restitution. Amen? because you stay hard after Him. Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you need prayer, raise your hands. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for all of you. I thank God that you were here today. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Do you want to tell us about it, or do you just want us to pray? Okay. Ladies, a couple of you ladies, will you go and just lay hands on her? See, the cool thing is I don't need to know. You don't need to know. God knows already. He already knows. He already knows. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Michaela? Micaiah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Marianne. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Father, I thank you that right now you're revealing to her that even though men may fail her, men, people on this earth may reject her, Lord, you never let her go. You never reject her. And your heart for her is for good, according to your word. See, his word says, hear the word of the Lord. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Their thoughts for good and not for evil. Their thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're revealing yourself to her right now. And that this prayer request, Lord, has been handled. It's in your hands and you know. And already, you're moving in her behalf. Because she was willing to stand up and say, I need prayer. We don't need to know, Lord, but you know and you've already got it handled. You've already got it handled. Now put peace in her heart in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Cause faith to arise and grow in her. Cause her to see that you are her strength, her high tower. And that the righteous person, Lord, has a right to run, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that she can run into and be safe because she's righteous in your eyes. Hallelujah. You've made her justified. You've made her righteous because of you, Lord. Because of your presence. Save, heal, and deliver in every area of her life, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we all give you honor and glory and thanksgiving. And say, Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God's good. All the time. Like Harry said, and all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. His presence is here today just to reveal Himself to us in a greater way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel free today.
I feel free today.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
No one else needs prayer than Father right now. Lord, I release your people to you, Lord. I thank you that your presence is with them, that you watch over them, that your angels have charge over them. And as they go, Lord, and as they go through this week, Lord, it's blessed. It's blessed. And much is going to be accomplished for them and in them and through them because of you, because you're in and through them, Lord, by the Holy Spirit and by the presence of your Son who lives and dwells in us. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this moment, this time. And now, Lord, bless our fellowship, bless the food, sanctify it to our bodies by your word and this prayer. And in thanksgiving, we say, praise the Lord and thank you, Father. Amen.